This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
On a Supreme Court vacancy that will happen before the midterm elections. Also, Elon Musk, some of his space junk is going to smash into the far side of the moon. What does all of that mean? And a nor'easter coming your way. If you are listening to me up that I-95 area that is below Washington, D.C., all the way up through New England. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, just another day in the world as we know it. So let's dive into really this, what's happening with this Supreme Court. The oldest justice, that would be Stephen Breyer, is going to announce his retirement. So the last court that he would be involved in would wrap up in June. Now, it hasn't officially been said because he's meeting with the president, but it's definitely there. He's definitely said that he's going to retire. So that means that there is a vacancy. And then what does that mean? Well, it certainly means a couple of things, including the fact that when you look at the 50-50 deadlock with the Senate, the retirement, the way his retirement sits, that's an interesting timing thing, because we've got these big elections coming up. So this planned retirement sets up a new challenge for the Senate, where they'll confront a heated Supreme Court, I'm certain, confirmation fight focused on our big cultural divide in this country. And some of the things that we've been talking about for a long time that are coming to a head. So I think for anybody who's a liberal activist, they're relieved because they were worried that Democrats would lose control of the Senate before Breyer left the court. And for Republicans, you know, what now will happen is we'll see that there will be a flip with this, whoever the choice is. One of the things that the president said when he was running, the current president, Joe Biden, is that he would love to see a black woman on the Supreme Court. So there is a small list of potential choices, but you know, none of this, again, kicks into action at this point. But, of course, there's lots of speculation. Now, Republicans on Wednesday responded to this news that was floating to mobilize voters in response, rallying around judicial matters that have been, of course, an asset at the polls, and preemptively cast the yet unnamed nominee to replace Breyer as a radical. We don't know who that's going to be, though, so we don't know much, but there's obviously optimism on one side and not on the other. So you look at the timing of it, and certainly Breyer was really, really asked to get out before Republicans sees the Senate, because it's always a question of numbers. We talk about this on the show. It's numbers is everything, and this is one of our three big branches. So this news is not necessarily a shock when you look at what has happened and what many people have said needed to happen, where they were after him to get out. Remember, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, died while she was serving. She resisted calls to retire during Obama's tenure, and that, of course, gave the opening to the then president, Donald Trump, to choose her replacement when she died in 2020. So then Breyer was the oldest on the bench at 83. And as soon as Biden was elected, there was a lot of push in the prospect of him retiring. And, you know, people like AOC said she would say yes, that when she was asked about the prospect of him retiring, that that needed to happen. But he was also pressured by legal types. There was a letter that was signed by 18 academics calling on him to step down, to retire after 27-plus years. The dean for the University of California at Berkeley School of Law, in fact, had a big op-ed pleading for him to announce his retirement, saying he shouldn't wait for the 2022 midterms to retire. With a 50-50 Senate, anything is possible. Something could happen to a Democratic senator in a state with a Republican governor who would then pick the replacement and throw the majority back to the Republicans. So thus we go back to the numbers again and what they mean. And we keep seeing in our history, swinging one way, then swinging the other way, swinging one way, and then swinging the other way. And especially now because of this massive cultural divide. So there absolutely was pressure on him, for sure. Breyer was pretty silent on his plans despite some of this pressure, saying he would eventually, that was the word he used a lot, he would eventually step aside, saying, you know, even last year, I mean, eventually I'll retire, I will, and it's hard to know exactly when. In September of last year, he did an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, and he was asked that, of course, and he left it like that he had things he wanted to do, but he left it in the air that he was not retiring just then. But this is big news. And who the replacement is and going through that approval process and everything else in between is certainly going to be dominating a lot of the conversation coming out of Washington, as you can imagine. Big for what happens with one of our important seats on a Supreme Court, because, you know, that is the last court in the land, so to speak. And there are many big decisions that are coming up. So who is it going to be? What is going to happen? Again, the short list is there, but there are still lots of hypotheticals at this point. Lots and lots of hypotheticals. All right, no hypothetical when it comes to this nor'easter, and I feel compelled to warn everybody, maybe because I grew up outside of I-95 and I know how foolish it is to try to drive it, because I was one of the idiots that did it once when there was a massive rainstorm, and I'm probably lucky I survived that. But this is even worse, because you're talking about a blizzard. You're talking about where the visibility is awful, where you could have 70 mile an hour winds and you could have portions in the northeast that could see maybe even a foot of snow. And with that rapid pressure drop, when you see that happen, that means intense storm. I was looking at a weather map. I hate this word, but it's scary, and I guess it's good to warn everyone. Bomb cyclone. And that means that rapid pressure drop is indicative of how intense this storm could be. So it's a couple of days away, and since the grocery store shelves are picked over because of supply chain issues, go to the grocery store, get whatever you can, and bunker down for a day or two. That's for sure. Hang with us.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. Taking you to Australia for a conversation with Melissa. She's written a book called Cry the Beloved Children. And boy, in this book, she pulls no punches. She tells you what it was like to grow up in a home where there was abuse. And that abuse could have been physical, mental, even witchcraft, and what it was like to grow up with a stepmom. And she also had siblings that were in the middle of all this. And I know that there's people in this audience that can relate to that. And we certainly have talked to people who have been through many, many, many things. So we appreciate her coming on, and it is a powerful book. Melissa, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your upbringing. So you spent some time, obviously, in South Africa, but you were born in Kenya. Do you remember much about Kenya, or no, you remember more about South Africa?
Actually, I remember about both places because I moved to South Africa in 1995. So I'd already finished school. I was married then. And in fact, when I moved over there, I was expecting my firstborn. So I remember the both places.
Yeah. And tell me about your dad and your relationship with your dad and then your stepmom and what happened there.
I believed I had a good relationship with my dad. I was actually very close to my dad. But the moment my stepmother came into the picture, my dad kind of withdrew from us, and he didn't even show much love to us anymore. And we wondered why, but it's very obvious it was because of my stepmom. But I was close to my dad even up until the time I left Kenya. I was in constant touch with my dad.
So for you, you know, you grow up, there's that background, and then you have your own life. Did you carry all that with you and not maybe realizing it, how much you kind of buried it?
Yes, I did. I did.
And then so then it's about unpacking it, and that's part of the whole thing about the book. I mean, the book is called Cry the Beloved Children. And tell us about that title and your siblings and why you chose that.
I chose this title because like I said, our dad really loved us long before our stepmother came into the picture. When we lived with my dad and my mom before she left, we saw a lot of love and we saw a lot of caring from my dad. But then when my stepmother came in, that changed. So in a way, we knew we were loved, but then we were always, you know, suffering and crying. And, you know, the issues we were facing with my stepmom made it very difficult for us. We as children loved our dad and we believed our dad loved us. But then we were really, really sad.
Yeah, and that had to be tough to grow up with, except for that you had each other.
Yes, we did have each other.
Yeah. So tell us about why you wrote the book. What made you decide, okay, I'm going to write this book and I'm going to talk about things that happened?
Yes, so what started off before I wrote this book was my stepmom, she was a member of a certain church in Kenya, and, you know, she was... The people in the church loved her because the picture she painted in the church was not the same one she showed at home. So the bishop of that church decided he was going to promote her to be like the women's representative or a title like that. And when my brother got to learn about it, he decided to write down what she had done to us as a family to go and show the bishop and tell him, before you promote this woman, you need to really know what kind of a person she was. So my brother, whatever he had written to send to the bishop, he also sent it to me. And I just read the information and put it away. But after the funeral, or during the funeral, after my dad passed away and during the funeral preparations, that's when my uncles, my aunties were talking all these good things about my dad. But for a long time, like from the moment my stepmom came into our lives, I think I'd blocked everything that was happening to us because those are not things I really wanted to remember. And they were asking me all these things and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So that's when I thought I better unpack this and find out what really happened to us.
And what did you find out?
That's when I found out and remembered, you know, like the witchcraft my stepmom was involved in, the beatings my siblings were experiencing, especially my younger sisters. And also the emotional abuse that I received from her, and also my brother as well, when he received a lot of emotional abuse from her.
Wow. When people, let's ask this, how are you doing now? I mean, now you have a family, you're in Australia, it's a different life.
Yes, I have a family, I'm in Australia, but you see, that's the other thing as well, because coming here or having my children, you know, like probably I may have been saying things to them without realizing that I was actually not, the things I was saying were not good things that were encouraging them, but discouraging them and putting them down. And that's when I thought, I think this has to do with my upbringing. So actually I did go and seek professional counseling. And that's when the counselor was saying, you know, maybe you need to forgive, you need to, you know, think of everything that happened to you and also go and forgive your parents and also your stepmother so that now you can start moving on with a better life with your children, because obviously from what you're saying, it's maybe what happened to you that you're actually bringing it to your children as well. So I didn't feel like I was doing a good job as a mother.
Right. And so this book is interesting because this is a book that is a legacy. This is a book that that so many people listening to us can read, but also from purely from your family that can be out there and it's a record of here's what happened. So for you writing Cry the Beloved Children, was it kind of cathartic? Was it healthy? That's what it sounds like.
It was healthy. I mean, by the time I finished it, I think I'd cried all the tears that I needed to cry. And that's what I was saying. It was a kind of a healing process for me. But yes, I'm glad I did it. And I was happy that I did the book. And you know, everything is out there.
Right. Everything's out there. And so speaking of that, and you can get the book, Melissa's book, Cry the Beloved Children, on Amazon.
Yes.
What do you hope people listening to this conversation take away from reading your book? They go and they get your book. What do you hope they take away?
I'm hoping that this book will inspire people. And, you know, like I said, those who had or have gone through the experience or are going through this experience, they would be inspired by what is happening or what happened in that book. And probably with that, they can realize that despite everything that is happening to them or has happened to them, there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Perfect place to end this. There is light at the end of the tunnel on a positive note. Melissa, yes. Thank you so much for sharing. Again, Cry the Beloved Children. It's on Amazon. Pick it up. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So a couple of quick hits. I have a daily salute that I think is wonderful. Buffalo Bill fans, known as Bills Mafia, are usually the ones making donations after a game. But after the Bills lost 42-36 to Kansas City in that epic AFC divisional round on Sunday, it was crazy. Chief fans, how classy of you, stepped up. So Chief fans began donating Tuesday to a children's hospital in Buffalo, New York, in $13 increments. The hospital was tweeting it out. So the $13 contributions represents the 13-second drive the Chiefs made to send the game into overtime. By Wednesday, the donations totaled $178,000 from 9,800 donors. How crazy is that? So bravo, Chiefs fans. How classy of you to do that, and how great for that hospital. The Chiefs, of course, take on the Bengals in the AFC Championship game on Sunday. I think that is wonderful. And then how about this? Space junk, there's no accounting for it. Yep, that SpaceX rocket orbiting the moon will crash into the moon. It's the Falcon 9 booster. It was launched in 2015 as part of a mission to send a space weather satellite on a million-mile journey. The rocket's derelict second stage hurtled through space for years, and now it's going to touch down by slamming into the moon. The good news, it'll just create a crater, a very, very deep crater, because it weighs 4 metric tons. But as it crashes into the far side of the moon in March, it'll be the first unintentional case of space junk hitting the moon. Hitting the moon. The velocity of what it will touch down at, 5,770 miles an hour. Wow. Fast, isn't it? All right, I'm with you. I'll meet you for a conversation with Robert Hargrave next.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Single illegal immigrant men are being distributed throughout the U.S.
Dozens of illegal immigrants are getting a free pass into America thanks to the Biden administration. Reports are coming in our government in unmarked buildings and buses are processing and redistributing single male immigrants in Brownsville, Texas. That's a violation of Title 42. At the airport, some of the immigrants claim to be going to Atlanta, Houston, and Miami. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki.
We continue to be under Title 42. We have a stringent protocol and includes those who do not show up will be subject to the repercussions of that.
Department of Homeland Security claims 47,000 illegal immigrants ordered to appear did not. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Moderna announced Wednesday the first participant has been dosed in the company's clinical trial of a booster shot specific to the Omicron variant. This is USA Radio News. A requirement to get vaccinated against COVID-19 kicks in Thursday for millions of healthcare workers in about half of U.S. states. The mandate starts in states that did not challenge the Biden administration rule. The mandate will take effect later in February for the other states that filed lawsuits. Earlier this month, the U.S. Supreme Court lifted injunctions that had put the vaccine mandate on hold. The Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services says it won't immediately resort to penalties for health facilities that have a plan to try to achieve full compliance by their staff. In related news, OSHA officially ended its emergency temporary standard on Wednesday. It had required COVID-19 vaccinations or weekly tests in workplaces with 100 or more employees. The news comes after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled this month that OSHA did not have the authority to require such mandates for businesses. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
Robert Hargrave joins us, and his book will make the hair on your arm stand up. What happened to him and the story he tells is really, really wild. The book is called We Survived. Robert, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure.
So let's talk about what happened to you. This all centers around, part of it centers around a plane crash and how you had to survive in the wilderness. So tell us what happened.
Well, I lived in Alaska for, I grew up in California, moved to Alaska and taught school in native villages. And I got an airplane and I'm an outdoorsy person. And one day I like to fish and hunt and go pan and fly my airplane. And when you do that, you know, you have eventually you're going to have a lot of stories to tell your grandkids. And my girlfriend, about 10 years ago, she, I've always been a writer, small articles, and I enjoy writing. And my girlfriend suggested I write a book about some of my adventures. And so I had to decide the setting. So I picked Alaska because I know a lot of people are fascinated by the wilderness up there, the last frontier, and the wildlife, and so geography. And so I decided to write a book about a couple, a senior couple that lived in Alaska, and they both had tragic events happen in their life. And their children told them, you need to move into a senior independent living complex so you can have a social life. You both have lost your spouse, so get with it, Mom and Dad. Get over there and get moved in. So in real life, that happened to me. And I moved into a independent living complex, and I met this beautiful lady who lost her husband, and we fell in love. And she inspired me to write the book. So in the book, I tell about this senior couple that meet, they fall in love, and they decided to, because he's a pilot, they decided to take an airplane, a private airplane, his own plane, down into Canada to visit his son. And while they're going down, in the wilderness of Canada, the Rocky Mountains, they have an airplane problem. And they have to they wind up having to crash land into the forest. Well, they've been together now for about 6 months, and they're bonding, they're getting closer together every day. They both love each other, but they do have boundaries, and they managed to survive the airplane crash, and that was traumatic enough. But a day later, they discover that they're in grizzly bear country, and they wind up getting attacked and surviving a grizzly bear attack in the Canadian wilderness. And then they have a few more days before they can be rescued. It covers a broad range of topics. It has a large appeal because it's a survival story. It's a love story. It's an adventure, action-packed story. And there's a lot of interesting stories about life in Alaska, the wilderness. And because I was a gold panner in real life, I incorporated in the story how the couple, Bill and Gail, they find a cabin, and outside of this small log cabin, they find a dead body. And the only thing that's left of the body is a leg, a partially severed leg that's still in a boot. And they put two and two together, and they figure out this was an individual that was killed by a grizzly bear, and this man was a gold panner because they eventually found his stash of gold, which was amounted to almost $2 million. And they do some, and after they're dramatically rescued by a bunch of Christian Civil Air Patrol pilots, when they get back to Anchorage, they make a few phone calls, and they find out that whoever this person was, they didn't make a claim. They didn't file a claim. And so the money, the gold, belongs to them. And then it goes on and on, and there's a bad actor in the story, but I don't want to give away
too many
much,
details.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to reemphasize this. You can get this book, We Survived, on Amazon, and you have a lot of drama. You have obviously love, as you said. There's so many different things that happen in this, but how do you fend off a grizzly bear when you're attacked by a grizzly bear? That's wild, and we're seeing that's happening more.
Well, I know. Every summer you read about horror stories about people being attacked by a grizzly bear. Well, you know, I lived in Alaska, and I taught up there, and I hunted and fished, and I've always been fascinated by bear stories. And a lot of the times, people who are killed tragically by bear, there's a reason for it. Sometimes, like a few years back, a couple, they were both well-armed, but they put their tent right down in the feeding ground of a grizzly bear. And during the night, because they invaded the bear's territory, the fishing game people determined that the bear took them out because they were considered a threat to. And then, you know, I've always been fascinated by bear stories and survival. I fit that category that, you know, I think it's important to learn the survival techniques. And so some of my bear stories, I shared with my counterpart, Gail. And I said, you know, Gail, we're in bear territory and we're not safe on the ground. I am going to build a platform, and we're going to get off the ground here until we're rescued. We're going to stay on that platform because there's a bear sign everywhere. And so the first day after the crash, Bill, the protagonist, he builds a tree platform, and right about dusk, about 10 o'clock at night, they get up on the platform. And about an hour later, this grizzly bear comes roaming into their camp. He sniffs around. There's a fire on the ground already, and he eventually finds out they're up in the tree. So the grizzly bear, without any hesitation, goes after them, and Bill, the protagonist, the main character, he has a compound bow and for protection. And it was part of his survival gear in the airplane. And he's able to kill the bear with his bow. It took four or five arrows, but the bear eventually, weakened, walked away, and then dived into the forest about 100 yards away. But he was, if Bill hadn't had something for protection, the bear would have killed him eventually. It would have gone right up the tree because he was chewing a bear, a grizzly bear, a full-grown grizzly bear, can chew through a 4-inch tree limb in 2 minutes.
Wow.
They have awesome jaws.
Right.
I can remember talking to a young couple, you know, in Yosemite National Park, of all places. They were camping. They tied up their food onto a tree limb that hung out over the river, over a creek. And they figured their food was going to be safe. Well, a black bear, which is much smaller than a grizzly bear, climbed up that tree, chewed that limb all the way through. And then the backpack fell right onto the ground. The bear had a good dinner. But, you know, you learn things about animal life if you live in Alaska, if you're an outdoorsy person. And so I put that in the story, and it was, you know.
Interesting.
So,
yeah. We don't want to give it all away, like you said. So just in wrapping this up, read this book and you'll learn all these stories about, as you said, Bill and Gail, and mirrors certainly your life. And again, it's called We Survived. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Robert, thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate it. You having me on your show. I thank you very much.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's time to
invade the Man Cave!
In this version of the Man Cave, we're going to jump around a little bit. There's rumors and all over the place in the NFL, and that makes sense because you have four teams that are left and others that are left figuring out what's going to happen in the future, like the Green Bay Packers. Speculation about what will possibly be the future for Aaron Rodgers. They want him back, and they've made that clear, but will he stay or will he go? Isn't that a song? Should I stay or should I go? He's probably thinking about that right now. Or maybe he's not even thinking about it. Who knows? I think this will drag out a little bit. I also think Tom Brady is doing the same thing. I mean, it's very strange because he may be the greatest of all time. He's not ready to announce his plans just yet, but he is thanking a lot of people. He's thanking the fans. He's thanking his teammates. He's thanking lots and lots of people. I mean, wow. So I don't know. Does he stay for another season, which was my thought, or does he walk away? Because, I mean, listen, does he have anything left to prove? I don't think so. And then you have Sean Payton, who leaves as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, which I've talked about before in the Man Cave. And there's heavy speculation about when he's going to return and will he return and will he be the Cowboys coach. But he's saying he's not going to return in 2022. He's not looking to do that. So we got a bunch of vacancies and we have a lot of rumors. That is, like I said, this time of the year in the NFL. You know, look at all the openings you have. You have a Denver head coach opening, you have a Chicago Bears head coach opening, you have a Jacksonville Jags head opening, you know, head coach opening, Miami Dolphins looking for a head coach as well, Houston Texans, Minnesota Vikings, Giants, Las Vegas Raiders, same thing rather, and the New Orleans Saints. So there's a lot of interviewing going on and speculation about who could end up where. One of the heavy speculated possibilities is where will Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn go if he wants another head coaching gig and doesn't want to stay as the defensive mind for the Dallas Cowboys. You would think he would get picked up pretty
quickly. So it's going to be fun to track that in the off season. But, you know, here's what I say. We still have these games left to play, people. Big games, conference championship games, Cincinnati and Kansas City. And I've said this a couple of times because people want to know who do you think is going to win. The Bengals did beat the Chiefs earlier in the season. And it was an exciting game, barely by a handful of points. But this is the postseason. It's going through Arrowhead. I said that same thing. The fields are the people are crazy, wild for Kansas City. It's one of the loudest places to play. For goodness sake, the ratings, 90% of the TVs in the Kansas City area were tuned to the Chiefs. I mean, 90%. Because you got to figure, not everybody's a football fan and could care less. And no offense to the Chiefs, but 90%, that's a huge number. San Francisco and the Rams at SoFi Stadium, another big one. I think really kind of tough to predict. San Francisco has had LA's number in the past, but this is a different time. There's a lot of momentum coming into this for both of these teams. I just hope, as I said previously, that we see a really close game. I want to see a close game because I really enjoyed the weekend games. I really did. It was time, you know, now I've said really about 10 times, time well spent. Time well spent because it was pure entertainment and you didn't know who was going to win. So it wasn't lopsided. You weren't looking at it like, oh, of course they win, or, you know, another lopsided game. It wasn't lopsided at all. It was wonderful. Got my fingers crossed. Hoping for that really rare stuff again in these conference divisional playoffs. And then we'll see who goes to the Super Bowl. And, of course, we're going to have a Super Bowl nail the score. And because I'm headed to Iowa on our normal time on Wednesday, we will be doing nail the score on the Tuesday before the Super Bowl. So spread the word, the Tuesday before the Super Bowl. We have some great prizes, and I would love for someone to nail the score. And I'm going to have some different ways that people can win, that's for sure. By the way, I'm going to throw this in. Gronk, you think of Gronk and you think of Tom Brady, you know, really joined at the hip. And that's why Rob Gronkowski played for Tampa, let's face it. And he says he's going to need time to weigh a return for next season. He said if he had to make a decision right now, he wouldn't return to play in 2022. He said if he was pressed, he said he needs to rest, see how everything's going, how it all plays out. And, you know, he's played on a pair of one-year deals over the past two seasons. So the last availability to talk to him, he said he would need about 3 to 5 weeks to decompress and assess what he thinks before he makes a decision. And maybe some of that is also going to be predicated, it doesn't take a genius to think that, on what Tom Brady decides he wants to do. Because remember, he came out of retirement. There were so many clever commercials that where they really played that up, because that was the truth. That's what happened there. Wow, this was crazy. You hate seeing this. You know, people, when you look at basketball, I think it's one of the toughest sports, basketball. And when you're down close and you watch going up and down the court what happens, man, players are gassed. I guess you could say that across the board in some of these other sports as well, especially the Big Four. But the Mavs forward Tim Hardaway Jr., had to leave the 130-92 loss to the Golden State Warriors the other night because he had a fracture in his foot. And it happened with 7 minutes plus to go in the first half. He drove to the hoop. He was going for a layup. I looked at the video again. He went down, you know, awkwardly and grabbed his foot in pain. He was able to get up and shoot his free throws, but he couldn't put any weight on his left leg. He had to be carried off the court. So that's not good news when you see that, because he's definitely one of the key elements for the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, their star is Luka Doncic, but he is vital. He's part of the mix. I mean, he's in the first year of a four-year, $75 million contract with the Mavericks. He's averaging like 14 points a game, and that'll be a big loss for him if, in fact, he can't come back. I mean, he's not going to be able to come back overnight, but when they examine it, ultimately, what do they come up with? I think that's, you know, the key thing. When I look at the Olympics are coming up on February 3rd. I'm excited about the American team because we're sending the second biggest contingent of athletes that we've ever sent. But there's a few things that have already happened, like U.S. skier Breezy Johnson is out of the Beijing Olympics because of a crash injury. So that is a top medal prospect for Team USA. She said a knee injury is going to force her to miss. I mean, she was second in the three World Cup downhills she started this season, but she crashed in training runs before two races in January. She said, I injured my knee and I have to, you know, withdraw. And she said she felt a massive crack in her knee and she had dislodged cartilage, so she obviously can't ski. The women's downhill is scheduled for February 15th, and it's always interesting to watch that to me, because that's like pure adrenaline. It's pure adrenaline. I have no idea how they do it. Every time I'm on skis, I'm like, can you tow me to the baby hill? Can I go to the greenest green trail that you have? I didn't used to be that way, but I haven't skied in a very, very long, long time. And then there are people that are testing positive for COVID, which we knew would happen. U.S. Olympic bobsledder Josh Williamson has tested positive for COVID-19. He's not going to fly with his teammate to China on Thursday, but he's hopeful he'll get there in time for the Beijing Games. He's expected to be part of the USA 1-4-man team in Beijing, but Sunday it was a positive test, so he spent the last couple of days at the training center in Southern California, like other members of the Beijing-bound bobsled and skeleton teams. But he said it's not an easy pill to swallow. I felt pretty helpless throughout this process, and I found myself laughing a bit at the situation I'm in. And he says, isn't it ironic that after 4 years of hard work, all there is to do is sit, rest, recover, and have faith? He said things that he struggles with the most. It's going to be his first Olympic team if he can get there. He, along with the woman's push athlete, Sylvia Hoffman, wound up making the team after winning Team USA's next Olympic hopeful contest. That's very, very big. And he's competed in 30 World Cup races since helping pilot Hunter Church to win two bronze medals in four-man events. And I like the bobsled, too. To me, that's the same thing. As you watch every little nuance of the time they need to make up when they take off on the bobsleds is fascinating. That's February 3rd, and trust me, we'll have Olympic updates and predictions and all that fun stuff in future Man Caves. Thanks for listening to this version of the show. It is 2022. Really, make it count, people.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.